sharing good news of great joy to all people. Elation Church.
Welcome to week number one. You know, sometimes I say welcome to week number five or six, or last week was week number eight, I think. You're here for week number one today. And week number one in a brand new series that we have entitled Overcome. Everybody say Overcome. Overcome. Now, do you believe that in Christ we can overcome? Who believes that? Who really believes that? So to overcome, we've got to have something to overcome, right? How many of you know living in this fallen, messed up world, there's going to be some things that we need to overcome? But in Christ, we can overcome. Let's look at some verses that talk about this. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Some different versions use different words because we're translating out of Koine Greek, out of the New Testament, right? This is in the Bible in basic English. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Praise be to God, who gives us strength to overcome. Everybody say overcome. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's God who gives us the strength to overcome. Somebody smile or something. I mean, it's not that. You should be happy about this, all right? You look like you might not be happy about it. You should be happy about it. You should be ready to praise God because he's the one who gives us strength to overcome. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, we've quoted this one every week in our last series, but this is out of New King James. It says, for whatever is born of God, everybody say, that's me. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's how we connect. Let's keep going. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, everybody say trouble. In all these things that we face in life, who's faced some things in life this week? Okay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I mean, being a conqueror is pretty cool, right? But we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I heard this story I'm going to share with you. There was a guy who was a boxer. And this is just an illustration. I don't have a name. This is just to give you that idea of what it means to be more than a conqueror. There's a guy who was a boxer, heavyweight boxer. So he had a fight coming up for the heavyweight title of the world, and if he won the title, he's going to make $25 million in this boxing match. So he trained and he worked hard and he fought in this boxing match and he won. So he got a check for $25 million. Everybody say $25 million. When he got home, I mean, that's being an overcomer, right? That's being a conqueror to win. When he got home, his wife met him at the door and said, where's the check? And he handed it to his wife. He was a conqueror, but his wife was more than a conqueror. Okay? And all the women said, amen. I mean, all right. How many of you agree that she was more than a conqueror? Well, how are we more than a conqueror? Hello? Jesus overcame, right? And then he says, here it is. He did it. And now we can be more than a conqueror because Jesus conquered. Do you get it? Okay. I'll keep going. The majority of you are smiling at the moment, so that's a good place. 1 John 4, verses 4 through, or just verse 4. Sometimes when I copy and paste, it throws up the next verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Everybody say overcome. This is talking about demonic forces, powers and principalities and rulers in the heavenly places in this fallen world. That's what's right before this. And you're of God, and you've overcome. Do you know that you've overcome because Jesus overcame? Now, you can choose to be in the fight if you want to. I know a lot of people who just choose to be in the fight. They're in the struggle all the time. But you've overcome. Light always, everybody say always, light always overpowers darkness. It's not a close fight going on between God and the fallen angels. It's not a close fight. Jesus has already crushed him and crushed the enemy. So when we know the truth, then we can say, nope, I'm an overcomer. I know you're trying to come on me today and give me thoughts and all this stuff to try to take me down and tell me that, you know, you're after me. Listen. The enemy comes like a roaring lion. Has anybody ever heard some lies in your head? And anybody? Are you alive? Check your pulse. Have you ever heard anything in your mind that was contrary to what God says? Well, that's the roaring lion. Here's the deal. Jesus has kicked his teeth out. All he has is the lie. It's like a toothless lion. I'm not afraid of a toothless lion. Let's go ahead and say he declawed him too. I'm not afraid of a toothless, declawed lion. So I'm going to stand and say, look, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I overcome. You have nothing on me except a lie. And I will not believe your lie. I will not. Because I believe the truth. And I stand in the truth. Come on, somebody. Just go ahead and put it in your mouth. No. I've overcome this situation that I'm facing today because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can't say it out loud for you. I'm just going to say it out loud for me. If you want to give me like $50 to say it out loud for you like five times a day, you know, here's the deal. You're just throwing away your money because if I say it out loud, it's going to apply to me. It's not going to apply to you. So you're just wasting your money. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm not going to take your money because you can't pay somebody else to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. Some of you are thinking way too hard. I wasn't planning on going here, but let's just do it. One day at a church in South Carolina, at the end of the service, after I got through preaching, this little girl, she was 17, 18 years old, she came forward. She had just, with two other boys, had gone to her grandmother's house and killed her own grandmother to steal from her and rob her, killed her with baseball bats. She came up, because she was a minor, she didn't go to jail, but she came up during that service and she was asking for prayer and we started praying for her and all of a sudden she started growling at me. I don't care if you believe this or not, I was there. Down front in the church, this girl starts growling at me. And you know what? I'm not going to put up with that, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and I have overcome. So here's what I said right there in the church service. I said, shut up in the name of Jesus. And you know what happened? She went limp. Her eyes, when she first came up, her eyes were so dark, I couldn't see any white in her eyes. I mean, they were just dark. After we prayed with her and asked God to set her free, all of a sudden there was light in her eyes. I can't explain it. But I'm telling you, I saw it. I experienced it. We don't have to put up with the devil's lies. We don't have to put up with his attacks. We don't have to put up with his roars. I'm telling you, we have authority in Christ. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Don't be beat up and beat around. Stand up. Stand up. You're in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Hello? Come on, somebody. Stand up. Speak the truth. Stand in that authority. Don't be beat up and beat down. Refuse. And say, greater is he that's in me than he who is in the world. We'll keep going. Since none of you got up and left when I told you that story, I guess we can keep going. John 16:33. Boy, this is real encouraging. This is Jesus talking. In this world you will have tribulation. Whew. In this world, we're going to have some tribulation. But what does Jesus say? Cheer up. Let me ask you a question. If you're going through a difficult time, do you feel like cheering up? So if you go by your feelings, what are you going to do? I heard two or three cries already. In this world, we're going to have trouble. But Jesus says, cheer up in the middle of it. Cheer right up. Go to Giovanni's, get a cup of cheer wine, and cheer right up. They have cheer wine at Giovanni's. Yeah. And garlic knots. Hey, if cheer wine won't cheer you up, get some garlic knots. I'm just... Giovanni did not pay for this endorsement. All right, here we go. In the world, you'll have tribulations. What did Jesus say? Cheer up, be of good cheer. Cheer up. You know why you can cheer up in the middle of trouble? Because Jesus has already overcome. And we're in him. So we have overcome. So cheer up. I mean, this is Jesus' sermon, not Dean's. You're going to have some trouble, but cheer up. Don't be overcome. Jesus has overcome, so you overcome too. Don't be overcome. It's time to cheer up and overcome. Tribulation, that word, is thalipsis. I don't know if I said it right or not. You say it by yourself. The definition is pressure. Everybody say pressure. That's the straight up definition, is pressure. In this world, you're going to face some pressure. Again, has anybody faced any pressure just this week? Has anybody faced any pressure just this morning? before church starts. Okay? In this world, we're going to face some pressure. Jesus said, cheer up. The Bible translates this word affliction, anguish, burdens, persecution, tribulation, and trouble. Whew. I'm about to get depressed just reading those words. In this world, we're going to have some pressure. So, to talk about overcoming, we got to admit that there's going to be some pressure that we're going to need to overcome. And I believe all of us have some pressure to overcome on a regular basis. Some days more pressure than other days. So this series is going to come out of Genesis. We're going to talk about a man named Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. Joseph. Now, if you know anything about the story of Joseph, Joseph has some pressure, right? If you know anything about the story of Joseph, Joseph overcame all the pressure from his entire life. He overcame. Are you with me? Don't quit smiling. In the book of Genesis, I think there's like 8 main characters in the book of Genesis. Abraham and Joseph both span 14 chapters. That's a lot. And this is just a little trivia thing, just in case it comes up on a TV trivia show. What is written in Genesis about Joseph, even though they're both 14 chapters, Joseph is 25% longer than Abraham, who's considered the father of our faith. Here's the deal. Joseph always rose to the top. Everybody say, I'm going to rise to the top. Hey, I may be having some pressure today, but I'm going to rise to the top. Joseph always rose to the top. And in this series, here's the deal about Joseph's life. I mean, it's not like we can just take one story or one little bit and then see that all of a sudden he overcame. No, there's going to be some weeks that he's going to be at the bottom instead of the top in this series. But some days we find ourselves at the bottom instead of the top. Even though part of the blessing of God, right, is to be on top and never beneath, right? I'm blessed. Does anybody know those verses? I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm blessed in the field and blessed in the city. I'm above and not beneath. Everybody say overcome. All right. So Joseph always rose to the top. In this series, we're going to see his troubles. And then we're going to learn from his life principles. I'll say that again. We're going to learn from his life principles. Because there's some things that we're going to point out in his life that we're going to see if this would not have become one of his life principles, then he would have never risen to the top. Are you with me? So we're going to learn. We're going to have some lessons from Joseph. We're going to learn some life principles. We're going to see his trouble and we're going to see his triumph. We're going to see him overcome. Is anybody ready? Don't sit there and think about your trouble. Some of you, I can already see it in your face. You're just thinking about your troubles. We're going to learn some things. And we've already looked at all these verses that say we're more than conquerors, right? That we have overcome and Jesus has overcome, so we're going to overcome. And hello? So if you're not on top today, hold on. Don't make the mistakes that will keep you from rising to the top. I'm excited. And I already know what I'm going to preach. Genesis 37. Today we're going to look at four verses. Genesis 7, verses 37. Genesis 37. Verses 1 through 4. And believe it or not, we're going to spend time talking about his family more than specifically Joseph, but we're going to pick out some things that he obviously learned in his family from his dad that are going to make it possible for him to rise to the top in the future. Now, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger. Everybody say Jacob. This is Joseph's father. Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. First of all, everybody tell me your dad's name. Just shout it out. What's your dad's name? Roy. Right. That was my dad's name. I was on the microphone, but everybody, just in case you're watching on YouTube, everybody said their dad's name. They just didn't have a microphone. Now, Joseph's dad was named Jacob. And as we look at the word Jacob in the Bible, we say, well, that's a cool name. And we know people who have named their children Jacob. Does anyone know someone named Jacob? Obviously, they didn't really look to see what the word Jacob meant. Because when Jacob was born, he's a twin, and his brother is Esau. And when they were born, it was very critical who was born first if you're having twins, because the firstborn was going to get the blessing. That's just the way it worked. He's going to get a double portion of the inheritance. He's going to be blessed by the father, the firstborn. Well, guess what Jacob did? As his brother Esau was being born, Jacob reached up and grabbed him by the leg, grabbed him by the ankle, said, no. So they named him Supplanter, Deceiver. That's why he got his name, because he was holding on. He didn't want to be second. He wanted double portion of the inheritance. He wanted the blessing. And that continued through his life. He actually wound up stealing the blessing, conniving and scheming, deceiving to get the blessing. Well, that's Jacob. And see, everybody knew. Here's what we got to understand about names in the Old Testament. Everyone knew what the name meant. It wasn't like, hey, we know people who have, you know, family members named Jacob, and we've got friends named Jacob and all that kind of stuff. But when the word Jacob was said in this time frame, I mean, the word Jacob meant supplanter and deceiver. So how would you have liked it when you were growing up, every time somebody said your dad's name, they said the word deceiver? What would that do to you? You're growing up, you're around other people. I mean, let's just call him Deceiver instead of Jacob. Hey, Deceiver. Hey, you're Deceiver's child, right? That's who he's known as. You're the son of Deceiver. Talking about words. I mean, that'd be like naming your daughter Jezebel or something. I mean, talking about, but that's his name. And Joseph grew up being the son of Deceiver. It's got to be tough. And then in verse 2, it goes on to say this. Joseph being 17 years old. So now from verse 1, we skip to verse 2, where we're talking about Jacob. Now we're talking about Joseph. Now Joseph is 17 years old. He's feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Somebody say tattletale. I mean, he's like, he's the youngest. And then he's going to his dad saying, you know what? My brothers aren't doing right, Dad. How's that going to help you? Joseph's family's messed up. Everybody say dysfunctional. At best, it's dysfunctional. Because Joseph's family, his dad is Jacob, the deceiver. His mom is Rachel. He's got 3 stepmothers, 10 stepbrothers, 1 stepsister. And they're all living at the same place. And they're all working together. I mean, we see things like this in the Old Testament, but just because it's Old Testament doesn't mean that it's not dysfunctional, all right? I mean, you can look at Abraham and his family, and hey, can you see dysfunction in Abraham's life? With Lot and Hagar, can you see some dysfunction in the house? So, they're all having to live together. They're all working together. That's messed up. Let's go to verse 3. Now Israel, everybody say Israel. You might say, well, who's Israel? How's he getting in this story? Here's a good thing. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. He had been known as a deceiver his whole life. And there we can look, we can track this out. Maybe one day we'll do a series out of people's names being changed in the Bible, God changing their names. Remember, he changed Abram's name too to Abraham. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. Somebody say, uh-oh. So now his dad is playing favorites. If he didn't already have it hard enough being the youngest, now his dad is obviously showing his love for Joseph more than all of his other sons and his daughter. Here's why, because he was a son of his old age. How many of you remember the story? Jacob, running away from Esau, went to live with Laban. Rachel was Laban's daughter. As soon as Joseph saw her, he's like, I'm going to marry that girl. So he talked to Laban. Laban said, okay, if you work for me 5 years, I'll let you, no, I'm sorry, 7 years. If you work for me for 7 years, I will let you marry my daughter. Well, after 7 years, Laban pulls one on him, and he winds up marrying the ugly older sister. I'm glad some of you laughed. Some of you, I don't know if it says she's ugly, but I made that up. But he didn't want to marry her. But the dad said, you know, it wouldn't be right for my younger daughter to get married for my older daughter, so you get to marry her. Look, dude, I have worked for you for 7 years. So now he has to work another 7 years to marry Rachel. Talking about messed up. So, Joseph is Rachel's child, her first child. It was given in Jacob's old age. Jacob showed favor. He made Joseph a coat, a tunic of many colors. So we know this story, right? We've spent enough time in church to know this. Got his coat of many colors. But it wasn't just a fancy coat. It represented something. See, a long-sleeve tailored garment was worn by owners or managers. And Joseph was the youngest, right? Remember, the oldest is supposed to get a double portion of the inheritance, supposed to get the blessing, the oldest, not the youngest. So this made everybody really upset. Because now the youngest brother has on the manager coat or the owner coat. Talking about stirring it up. So dad showed more love and attention to Joseph than his other children. Verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, when he comes out with that coat on, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. How would you like to grow up in that? You got 10 stepbrothers who hate you so much that every time they talk to you, they're mad at you. You think you'd have something to overcome? And they wouldn't even talk to him without fussing and fighting and putting him down. And they hated him. Joseph's family was a dysfunctional mess. Has anybody ever dealt with any dysfunction before? Whether it's at home or in any of your gatherings, any dysfunctional mess. Psychology tells us that there are three factors, everybody say three, that determine who we are today and what we will become. There's three basic factors. One is genetic. That's the genes from our parents. The other one is psychic, the way we think. Everybody say that's important. Come on, somebody say that's important. The way you think is important. I'm just sitting on it. It's not that I don't have anything to say, but I'm just... The way you think is important. Your environment. Your surroundings, your influences. So remember, Joseph, his dad was deceiver, supplanter, schemer. And then how would you grow up thinking if your whole family hated you pretty much except your mom and dad? And I mean, there's a bunch of them. And that's where you live and that's where you work, your environment. Your surroundings, your influences. These things are going to determine, what was it? Who you are and what you will become. So how would Joseph overcome? How's he going to overcome? How do you overcome difficult situations in your life? See, sometimes we think that we're alone in this, but I bet you we could dig into everybody's life and everybody's story, and we could find some reasons, some things that happened in your past that you could be a victim of today. You might be a victim of those things today still. But here's the deal. Everybody in this room could look at some event in their life or something in their life and say, well, you know, I'll never overcome because this happened in my past. Do we have to pass around the microphone and get to everybody's deep, dark secrets? No. And see, the enemy will make you think that you're the only one that's dealing with stuff this bad. These kind of problems, these kind of pressures from your previous life before today that you, I can't overcome because this. We can all come up with something. We can all be dysfunctional messes. If we want to be. Somebody say, I don't want to be. I mean, even if you are today, even if you look at your life and say, I'm pretty much a dysfunctional mess. Everybody, everybody say, I don't want to be that anymore. I want to overcome. And in Christ, I can overcome. I'm glad four of you said it. Today we're going to look at two shining moments in Jacob's life that had a lasting impact on Joseph. Two things. Are you ready? These are the lessons we're going to learn. And I believe as we can look at Joseph's life, if you know anything about Joseph's life, the rest of the story, and I believe you might, you know what, as I say these things, you can say, yeah. He must have learned that from his dad because it's not evident in his life, and that's what allowed him to rise to the top. Because if we don't learn these two lessons, we might not rise to the top. Boy, you are thinking really hard. I can't read the whole chapter of Genesis 32. Here's a synopsis. When Joseph was a young boy, his dad, Jacob, humbled himself before the Lord, faced the sins of his past, his supplanting and deceiving and all that kind of stuff. He just humbled himself before God, and he admitted those things, came clean on those things. And when he did, God blessed him and changed his name from Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, schemer, to Israel. That happened when Joseph was a young boy. Now, when you know that your dad, everybody's been calling your dad deceiver, and then all of a sudden they start calling your dad Israel, you know something's happened. Right? Five of you agree with me. All right. Here's the lesson that I believe Joseph learned. He learned to, if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to overcome, we got to take responsibility for our own actions. Can't just live our lives blaming everybody else or coming up with excuses. I mean, how many of you have messed up a few times? How many of you messed up a few hundred times? Here's the deal. Especially in our society, I don't know how bad it was back then, but in our society, it's hard to find anybody to take ownership for their actions anymore. I mean, I have no choice but to be this way and to think this way and to speak this way. I have no choice because of what my parents did and what somebody else did and what my kids did or what my spouse did. Or hello? Can anybody see that besides me? Am I the only one seeing that? It's hard to find people who will take responsibility for their actions. We just want to blame everybody else. The reason I've got in trouble today is somebody else's fault. The reason I'm facing pressure today is somebody else's fault. Sometimes the trouble and the pressure has come because of what we've said and because of what we've done. Not always. Sometimes it can come from who we're connected to, right? But we are all free to be able to think in the right way, no matter what somebody else has done to us. We're responsible to process it ourselves. I took it out of the PowerPoint. I had it there, but there's this guy that, Frankel, I believe is his last name. Oh, you know who it is. he was in a Nazi prison camp. Y'all know who he is too, you're talking. His last name's Frankel, I can't remember his first name. But he said a quote after he got out. He said, one of the greatest freedoms that we have is basically the freedom to, wish I still had it in here. We have the freedom to process things. He didn't use the word process. If y'all know him, can you help me? It's up to us, basically. You know, I mean, he was in this Nazi prisoner of war camp, a Jew in this camp, and they did terrible things. I mean, you know about the genocide and about putting people in showers and them gassing them and poisoning them and killing them and not feeding them and just all those things, all those terrible things. Just digging big holes and burying hundreds of people at a time. So it was, that was pressure and that was trouble. But he said this, he said the greatest freedom is, it's basically being able to forgive, being able to process this, being able to overcome, not let this thing that happened in my past determine my future. We've got that freedom. How we're going to respond, I think that's the word to use. We're all free on how we're going to respond to the pressures that we face. That's one of the greatest freedoms of humanity. It's up to us how we're going to respond. So, you know, Jacob came clean before God. He took ownership for the way he had lived and the way he acted and the bad things that he had done. And you know what? He came clean and he quit blaming his father. He quit blaming his brother. You know, if he wouldn't have been born first or if he wasn't, you know. He quit blaming and making excuses and he took ownership. Let's go to Genesis 35. Here's another synopsis. When Joseph was 13, Jacob took his entire family to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. He takes his whole family to Bethel. All four wives, all 11 sons, his one daughter, they all go to Bethel. He says, guys, we got to have a family meeting. Everybody say a family meeting. Got to have a family meeting here. That first experience when Joseph was younger, that was just something that Jacob did by himself in seclusion. But now he calls a family meeting and he told the family about his encounter with God. There's some problems in his house. Some of his wives have brought in idols, so there was idol worship going on among family members. So, Jacob told his family about his encounter to God. He called his family to turn away from idolatry. And when he did this, after this family meeting, God reaffirmed the Abrahamic blessing over his family. Somebody say, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. God reaffirmed that Abrahamic blessing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And now we're going to Joseph. So what happened in this family meeting? Jacob acknowledged God. He says, I've met with God. He even wrestled with an angel, if you know the story. God blessed him. God changed his name. And he told his family about this encounter, and he's like, look, we need to acknowledge God. We need to quit acknowledging these idols and these false gods that some of you grew up worshiping. We need to get rid of that. We need to remember God's faithfulness to our grandfather Abraham, our father Isaac. We need to remember the faithfulness of God, his faithfulness to them and his faithfulness to us. We need to know the promises of God, the blessings of God. How many of you know if you don't know the promise, it's probably not going to be fulfilled if you don't know it? Was anybody here for the last 8 weeks? For the promise to be fulfilled, for it to happen, what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to attach to that with our faith. So we have to hear it. Everybody say, hear it. We got to believe it. Everybody say, believe it. We got to have confidence in God's faithfulness and God's promise. Everybody say, have confidence. And then we have to act. Everybody say, act. In accordance to what God has said or what God is saying, how we are supposed to respond to this. I don't know if Joseph knew of the Abrahamic blessing or not up to this point. But he found out at that point. What was the Abrahamic blessing? God was going to bless them and bless their family. God was going to protect them. God was going to increase them. I can give you chapters and verse if you want it after the service. But those are the... God's going to bless them so much that he's going to bless the entire world through their family. Look to the person beside you and say, that's a big blessing right there. That's a big blessing. And the Bible says that same blessing is yours. In Christ. In Christ. Same blessing is ours. Here's the deal. We've got it so much better than Joseph. Joseph didn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. He didn't. This is before Christ. I mean, he died in faith, and we will meet him one day when we go to heaven, but he was living under an old covenant, an Abrahamic covenant. We're living under a much greater covenant. Hello, somebody. So how are we going to overcome? How are we going to overcome? First of all, we've got to quit blaming, right? Got to quit blaming. We've got to quit making excuses because that's not going to help us. We're not going to rise to the top as long as we're blaming everybody else and making excuses. And we can look at Joseph's life all the way through. And I mean, we never see him blaming or making excuses. Do it. In the upcoming stories of his life. I can't find any. We've got to know the promises of God. We've got to know that God has made it possible for us to overcome. And we're supposed to be overcomers. Is anybody convinced that you're supposed to overcome? I mean, I've read all those verses. Hopefully you say, yeah, I believe God's telling the truth, and I believe I'm supposed to overcome and rise to the top. So we've got to be confident in that. We've got to be confident in the promises of God. We've got to be confident of who we are in Christ, in this fixed position, in the anointed one, in the Messiah. We've got to be confident in that, right? The genetics and the way we think and the influences around us. Guess what? All that has been changed. We've been born again. We are a new creation. We can have a new mind, a renewed mind through the Word of God. And in Christ, we have been refathered. God is now our Father. We have a new family. Look around. Look to the person beside you and say, hey, brother, hey, sister. We've got a new family. We've got a faith family. We've got new influences. It's new. in Christ is new. So that should mean that we should rise to the top a whole lot faster than it took Joseph to rise to the top, because we've got it better. We have the Holy Spirit, God Himself. Greater is He who's in us than he that's in the world. He is in us. Thank you for the shout in the nursery. Somebody just got happy. Wow! They must have heard me. I'm going to read this verse again from the NLT. John 16:33. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. No matter what pressure we face, we can have peace in Jesus. This is Him talking. He says, here on earth, you'll have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart. Look to the person beside you and say, cheer up. Because I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. See, Jesus didn't overcome for Himself. He could have just stayed in heaven, right? Come on, somebody. I mean, Jesus is God. Jesus can just speak and boom. You remember when the soldiers were coming to get Him and they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they all fell down. I am. He didn't overcome for Himself. He didn't go through all this just for Himself. He overcame so you can overcome. I want you to take hold of that. Because until you wholeheartedly believe it, you probably won't act in accordance with it and speak in accordance with it and probably not receive it. So hopefully, how many weeks are we going? Like 6 weeks? Hopefully in 6 weeks, you're going to know that you're supposed to overcome because Jesus overcame.
This online worship experience was brought to you by the friends and partners of Elation Church.